Well, it's my privilege to be here amongst you today to bring you God's Word. And I do also bring you greetings from the saints at Providence Reformed Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, where I pastored a church there. And I came down here from the cold of Wyoming to the warmth of California and picked up a cold. So kind of excuse my voice. I might have to blow my nose sometime during this, but just please bear with me. This morning, we're going to be looking at some verses from one of the last prophecies before the coming of Christ, and that's Malachi, looking particularly at the first three verses of chapter 4. I want to read some other passages in conjunction with our text. So if you turn with me first to Isaiah chapter 8, start reading at verse 19 of 8 and read to the second verse of chapter 9. And notice in this is a pretty familiar passage, I think, and notice the reference to the great light in this passage. So again, Isaiah chapter 8, starting at verse 19, let us be attentive to this reading of God's holy word. And when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards, who whisper and mutter, should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. They will pass through it hard-pressed and hungry, and it shall happen when they are hungry that they will be enraged and curse their king and their God and look upward. And then they will look to the earth and see trouble and darkness, gloom and anguish, and they will be driven into darkness. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan and Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. A prophecy of the incarnation of Christ Jesus, the light of the world. And then also, if you turn to the first chapter of the Apostle John, the Gospel of John, we'll read more of the word that became flesh. So hear this word of the Lord again, John chapter 1. We'll be reading the first 13 verses. May the Lord bless this hearing of his word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And thus far in this reading of God's holy word. Now let us turn to Malachi, last book in our English Bibles of the Old Testament. This is a prophecy the Lord gave to his people Israel probably about 400 years before Christ became incarnate. And it speaks in chapter 3 of him who would be the messenger who would prepare the way for him who would come. Speaking of John the Baptist, and we're going to start reading in chapter 3 at verse 16. And we'll be focusing in on the first three verses of chapter 4. So let us hear this word of the Lord. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on that day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. That will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on that day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. May the Lord bless the hearing of his word unto you. We pray true faith in him. So, beloved congregation of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we're just about transitioning into a new year, new Anno Domini, year of our Lord 2018. And as Christians, members of the church that Christ purchased in this precious blood, we have one great redemptive event that we yet anticipate, and that's his coming back to have us become the church triumphant, to have us be glorified. That ought to be, hopefully, an anticipation that we have. We never know when he will come. You don't know that date, but 2018 brings us closer to that ultimate fulfillment of our salvation. But I think we all probably expect that when it gets to be January 1st, 2018, the sun will rise. But if you're living up in Barrow, Alaska, north of the Arctic Circle, they're still in a period of 67 days of darkness. And so they have a festival which celebrates the arising of the sun. Finally, after 67 days of darkness, the sun arises to shine its light on those people who have dwelt in that winter darkness. That studies show is harmful to the well-being of humans. More depression, there's more alcoholism, there's more suicides. God, in the beginning, when he created light and separated that light from the darkness, he considered it good. Genesis 1:4. And the sun, that great light in the sky that God created on the fourth day of the creation week to give daylight to this present earth, its rays, we know, are beneficial to all of life. And we know, and we appreciate, and we take pictures even, that the arising sun is not just awesomely beautiful, but its arising always marks for us the passing away of the darkness of night. It's a new day beginning. And as God tells us in Ecclesiastes 11, verse 7, truly the light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun, speaking of that globe. So it's true that all of us who are alive on this present earth, we all experience the great benefits of God's goodness in having that beneficial great light, the sun, arise each morning to dispel the darkness. We all benefit from the sunshine that gives light and aliveness to this world. And we always hope and pray that everybody who does live on this present earth would indeed come to acknowledge the goodness of God in giving us the sun to shine its beneficent light. So given all of the great benefits that we all enjoy as the created sun arises, it should not really be that surprising to us that Christ, who arises on the earth with all the benefits of his righteousness, is called the Sun, S-U-N, the Sun of Righteousness. Now, he arises on the earth via his first coming, which is past, some 2,000 years ago. His incarnation, that was his first arising on the earth. That's the immediate day of the Lord that's in view in Malachi's prophecy, the incarnation. That's what it's looking at to first. But he will rise again. The Son of Righteousness will rise again on this earth as the ultimate, final day of the Lord. That's also in view in Malachi's prophecy. And the benefits of this Son, in other words, the Son of Righteousness, Christ arising by his first and second coming, the benefits of that sun's shining its light into the world are healing for those who fear the name of the Lord. That's what God's prophet Malachi tells us. Healing for those that revere, honor, hallow, submit to his name. So listen to our text. He shall arise with healing in his wings. And that healing in the wings of the Son of Righteousness, winged to us, as Malachi uses this poetic language, that healing began with the Son's first arising on the earth, the incarnation of Christ, to suffer the cross, that it is in its essence all about healing his people from their sins. It's another way of speaking of salvation. Healing, salvation. But the completion, the fullness of the healing of all those who fear the name of the Lord, that which we anticipate, that we long for, we pray, Lord, come quickly, that completion of our salvation, the completion of our healing, will be when he rises in glory on earth on that final culminating day of the Lord, to which Malachi's prophecy also looks ahead to. Healing will then be complete for all of us who feared the name of the Lord, who honored him, who hallowed his name, who bowed down before him, who trusted in Jesus Christ. It will be complete through the resurrection to perfect sinlessness, the resurrection to perfect righteousness of those of us throughout all of history who feared his name while we were living on this present earth. So healing, salvation, it'll all culminate, come to its glorious completion on that final arising of the Son of Righteousness with his church. The culmination will be the church in glory, the church triumphant, and all of us who hallowed his name will be finally and fully body and soul freed from all the confinements of sin. And we'll be free to worship God perfectly and to serve God in perfect righteousness. And so we will, on that day, when we're finally glorified, when we're finally made perfect, fully sanctified, we will rejoice like calves, as Malachi puts it in that poetic language. We'll rejoice like calves set free from confinement. Finally free, finally totally free to serve the Lord and glorify him without any hindrance of sin. And furthermore, the last arising of the Son of Righteousness, that final and culminating day of the Lord, for all of us who did fear the Lord in our lives, who had faith in him, we shall then be triumphant victors. In union with Christ the King, we will be trampling underfoot all of our enemies, so to say. That's what Malachi prophesies. We shall tread down the wicked. They shall be ashes under the soles of our feet. That's what we will do in Christ, showing in our victory over all of our enemies, finally, on that last arising of the Son of Righteousness. So this morning, I want to look at that arising of the Son of Righteousness from the scriptures a bit more. that healing in his wings that Malachi tells us he brings. And we all know that the globe in the sky, the created sun, that gives physical particle and waveform light. That's the kind of light that is. It gives that light when it arises every morning. And Christ, before his incarnation, was referred to by the prophets in terms of light. The last words of King David, recorded for us in 2 Samuel 23:4, speaks of the just ruler who dawns on his people like the morning light, like the sun shining forth on a cloudless day. So there's a reference to Christ Jesus as light. Psalm 84 tells us that the Lord God is a sun and a shield, a sun and the shield. And when Zechariah the priest, the father of John the Baptist, was prophesying of the Jesus whose way his son would prepare, he said it was by the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise, or sometimes it's also put dayspring, same thing, the rising of the sun, shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in the darkness in the shadow of death. That's from Luke 1 towards the end of the chapter. So Christ at his first coming is the more immediate fulfillment of Malachi's prophecy. The Lord coming in the world, into the world in the flesh. And the Apostle John says of Jesus in the very beginning of the Gospels, he read, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And the Christ whose coming was like the rising of the sun to dispel the darkness of sin, he himself said, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 8:12. So you and I should really give praise to the Lord, be thankful that we are privileged to live in the Christian age of the church. Because the light that is the sun of righteousness arisen on earth, that's a much clearer light to illumine God's mercy to sinners like us, the sinners that we all are. That's a much clearer light than was the law and its tabernacle ceremonies and temple ceremonies that were given at Mount Sinai. We have much clearer light to show God's mercy than did they back who lived in the shadows and types of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul tells in Galatians 3 that all of those Mosaic ceremonies, the old covenant under the law, was given to be a tutor to lead us to Jesus Christ. But only Christ, as he arose as the Son of Righteousness, was the true light that demonstrated God's mercy in reality, not just the shadow types that we had under Moses. So we are privileged to live in the revelation of the light in its fullness until it's coming at the last day. And furthermore, there's this vision of heaven, the assured hope of all of us who trust in the Lord, who fear the name of the Lord. That vision given to the Apostle John, recorded in Revelation 22, we read that there shall be no night there. Speaking of the new heavens and new earth, there shall be no night there. They need no lamp, nor the light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. See, the light of Christ, the Son of Righteousness, arose on this present earth again by his incarnation to overcome, to heal the darkness of sin. To heal that darkness of all of the sinners that the Father had given him, the Son of Righteousness, to come and save. But since that first coming, again, now some over 2,000 years ago, the created Son, the one that rises every morning, the globe, the yellow globe, the great light, had still been winging its beneficent rays upon this yet present earth. Every morning we expect the sun to arise and shine its good light upon us. And it's doing that, that sun arises, because God is faithful to the promise he made to Noah after the flood. Genesis 8, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. That's dependent upon the sun's rising. But the light of the created sun, beloved, is only fitting for this present earth. It's only fitting for this present earth. When the sun of righteousness arises in this present earth on that last day of the Lord, also in view in Malachi's prophecy, when he arises for that last time in glory to take us to glory, he will then renew the earth on that day. He will purge it, we might say. We might say he might heal the earth of its curse of sin that it's had since the fall of Adam. Liberate it from all of its defilements of the darkness of sin. That's what he'll do with the earth. That's going to be the new earth, the recreated earth. He will set it free from its bondage to sin, as Romans 8 tells us. And again, he will make it into the new earth, to which the heavenly Jerusalem will descend and be joined to it, to become the dwelling place of us who fear the Lord, who will finally get to experience our glory, to the glory of God in his fullness, when Christ, the Son of Righteousness, arises that last time. That's what we look forward to. And for all eternity, when he comes back, then for all eternity, for all of us who feared the name of the Lord, who trusted in him while we lived on this earth, we who heeded the call to repent of the gospel, to repent of our sin, to turn and trust in Christ, to trust in his righteousness for our righteousness before God, all of us who are saved by faith, who believed on the Son of Righteousness, we will then live without the need of the created Son. No created Son in the new heavens and new earth. Because Christ himself, the Son of Righteousness, will be our Son. He will provide all the light that we'll ever need for all eternity. So from all the testimony of Scripture that we've looked at, it seems pretty clear that Malachi's prophecy of the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness arising, is referring to Christ's coming as incarnation and his coming again in glory to bring to end these last days. So we anticipate that day, whenever it might yet come, his second and final coming, Judgment Day, Recreation Day, Resurrection Day, New Heaven and New Earth Day, Healing Completed Day. On that day, his arising will reach its greatest brightness as he comes in glory and makes the final distinction between those who did fear the name of the Lord and those who refused to do that all the time that they lived on earth. So today you hear the gospel. Every Sunday you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. It goes forth by all kinds of means. Now it's on the internet, it's sermon audio, it's wherever the Lord sends it, and the call is always to repent of your sin, put your trust in Jesus Christ, that you may have life everlasting. May all who hear the gospel indeed heed it, believe it, trust in it, and live in the blessedness of life in Christ. So Jesus Christ is the Son whose light is not of the particles and the waveform of the created Son. He's the light that when by God's grace it shines into the heart of a person, shines into the heart of a sinner, it overcomes the darkness of sin in that person. And the darkness of sin is really the manifestation of the power of darkness, the enslaving power of the evil one, whose bondage is unto eternal death, everlasting alienation from God's fellowship. It's the outer darkness that Jesus speaks about, where the only light will be the fire of God's wrath against their sin, those who refused to hear and heed the gospel. And Malachi describes that terrible destiny of those who refuse to serve the Lord. They're set ablaze, it says, burned like the useless stubble of a harvest. Or as John the Baptist put it, burned like the branches that did not bear any good fruit of repentance. So the darkness of sin, unless the Son of Righteousness Jesus Christ overcomes it. The darkness of sin, it shows up as the bad attitude toward God that Malachi points out back in chapter 3, where he says, you know, it's that attitude that we see so prevailing in our day as well. We know it amongst people in our families and neighbors, co-workers, we've got in the world. We see this attitude all the time. And the attitude, it's useless to serve the Lord. It's useless to serve the Lord. Why serve the Lord? I'm doing quite well without serving Him. And those that have that attitude that's characteristic of the darkness of sin, they will, on that final day of the Lord, experience not the healing in the wings of the Son of Righteousness, but the burning of God's wrath against their sin. There are two outcomes: healing or eternal suffering of Lord's judgment against your sin. Those who refuse to serve the Lord, those who refuse to trust in Him, those who refuse to believe on Jesus Christ, those who think it's useless to serve the Lord, their burnt ashes will be trampled underfoot, Malachi tells us, on the final day of the Lord. But those who did fear the name of the Lord, who by God's grace came to fear His name during their earthly lives, and I hope that's true of all of us here, who heard and believed the gospel of Jesus Christ, that good news, praise the Lord, the Son of Righteousness arose and will yet arise with healing in His wings for us His own, who are His own by faith in Him. Healing in His wings. Again, that's poetic language, figurative language, such as Psalm 18 speaks of God flying on the wings of the wind. It's poetic language. Wings carry, wings spring too, so that the rays of the sun may be set to wing their way to earth for our benefit. We use that kind of language at times. And so in the same figurative, poetic sense, Christ is a sun whose healing light arises on the earth as sent on wings. And Christ is the Son of Righteousness. That's how Malachi describes Him, the Son of Righteousness. And so God, in His word given to us by Malachi, uses that term because God, through Jeremiah 23, gives Christ, who will arise, this name, the Lord our Righteousness. The Lord is the Son of Righteousness because His beams, His healing, is characterized by His perfect righteousness, by which we of the darkness become the righteousness of God in Christ. See, the healing is because of His righteousness, the perfect righteousness of His sacrifice, pleasing to God, that it atones for our sin. It's a perfectly righteous sacrifice. He is the Son of Righteousness because He came and brought that light to earth that heals us of our sin, as we put our trust in Him by grace through faith. It's the perfectly righteous sacrifice and the perfect righteous life of Jesus Christ. We're all part of God's great plan of redemption for you and I. Apart from the Son of Righteousness arising to suffer for our sins on the cross, apart from His coming back to take us to glory, we could not enjoy the fullness of salvation that God gives to us through Jesus Christ. We are dependent upon the Son of Righteousness coming, as Malachi prophesies, the first time to suffer the cross and then to come back to bring the culmination, our salvation, and ultimately to have God have a people that will glorify Him perfectly, as is always His intent for saving us. So, beloved, as long as we live on this earth, the Son of Righteousness is still working in us by His Spirit to make us more like Him, to put to death the remnants of the darkness of sin in us, to make alive the new man, the man created in accordance with righteousness and holiness in Christ, So the process will go on until finally, on that last great day of the Lord, we will be made perfect, fully sanctified, and enjoy the fullness of the abundant life promised us in Christ Jesus. Now there's also another word of, in the Hebrew, another meaning of the Son of Righteousness, and that is, it also means vindication. Vindication. So that Christ rises the Son of Vindication on the last day. It's a metaphorical, picturesque way of describing that day of the Lord as a time when God vindicates his people's faith in him. Our faith will be vindicated fully on that last arising of the Son of Righteousness. Because then we'll discover, indeed, experience that, yes, we have perfectly right standing before the righteous God, the holy God, through Jesus Christ. We are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. It'll be known to all on that last day of the Son of Righteousness arising. And we'll finally realize, in spite of all the persecution that we suffer on this earth from those who do not fear the name of the Lord, who are against Christ and his church, on that last day of the Son of Righteousness arising, we will have our triumphant victory over all of Christ and our own enemies. We'll be vindicated, proven, justified. Our faith was right. On that last day, we'll be vindicated. Because all of us who are in union with Christ will on that last day enjoy final victory over our enemies and enjoy the fullness of peace for all eternity. That's what we look forward to. That's what we seek in 2018 and all the way to whenever the Lord does come back, that final day of the rising of the Son of Righteousness. So we should think how amazing, isn't it amazing how awesome really is that gracious and merciful healing from God that comes to us on the wings of the Son of Righteousness, the incarnate Christ who will arise again on this present earth to culminate the healing of us, his own. Culminate the salvation of his people, all who have come by God's grace and mercy to fear his name. And so we pray that many more would experience the grace of God and hear the gospel and believe it. And put their trust in the Son of Righteousness. They may look forward with us to that second arising, that last arising, the fullness of salvation. So for us who do believe the gospel, the call of the gospel is to keep believing the gospel every time you hear it, so that we persevere in our faith. So God means God uses. Help us always be looking out, looking forward to that coming back, looking forward to the fulfillment of our salvation, to us finally being freed from all the impediments that keep us from worshiping God perfectly now. That day is coming. Let us be looking forward to it. And we want that healing to take place in us from the Son of Righteousness so that we more and more find ourselves in tune with God's will. That we amend our lives, turn away from whatever sins that still grab a hold of us and seek to live in accordance with righteousness. In accordance with the Son of Righteousness. And there's been many people, maybe some of, among you, and in my past history, and I know many people in my congregation back home and other congregations that I've served in the past, when you experience the light of the Son of Righteousness in your heart, then you'll find that you're no longer walking in the enslaving, frustrating, never content, lust-provoking anger of the darkness of sin. That's where we're all at until the light of Christ shines in us and overcomes the darkness of sin. The world promises all kinds of things that are never able to satisfy because only the light of Christ, Christ himself, can satisfy us. There's no rest or peace for our souls until they find their rest in God, in Christ Jesus. And so we pray that our witness of our transformed lives in Christ would lead others to come to Christ, to experience that same contentment, that same peace, that same joy that's found only in Him, the Son of Righteousness, the light come in the world, the light of man. And we have to realize there's no other light. There is no other light except for Jesus. There's all kinds of deities that people hold to, gods that people put their trust in. There is no other light except for Jesus. No other light can overcome the darkness of sin except for Jesus Christ. No other light can overcome the disease of sin except for Christ Jesus, the Son of Righteousness. And everybody needs to know. We should be willing to say this to everybody that we know that doesn't know the Lord yet. That we're all descendants of Adam. We're all afflicted, conceived and born in sin. We're in the darkness of sin. That's where we're at until the light of Christ shines in our hearts. And then healing begins. And how wonderful that healing is. So, beloved, on that very last day, as Malachi tells us, there will be again discernment made between those who feared the name of the Lord and those who did not. May all of us here be those who fear the name of the Lord so that we look ahead to that healing that's taking place already through Christ and His Spirit and Word will be completed when He arises the last time. We who now fear the Lord, as we revere Him, as we worship, as we bow down before Him, as we amend our lives in keeping with His righteousness, we may anticipate with assured hope that fullness of healing from the Son of Righteousness when He arises on that last day. So when you see the beneficent, shining sun on this present earth, which is still cursed with Adam's sin, the sin so evident in the wickedness, the darkness all around us throughout the world, that even remains in us Christians, we still have the sinful nature clinging to our mortal bodies. As we see ourselves still struggling against the darkness, that the sinful nature clinging to us, even as we confess Jesus Christ, as we see the created sun shining, and yet our bodies still get sick, we get the flu, we get colds, we get more desperate illnesses that lead, can be life-shortening, as we heard in prayers this morning, we should give thanks always in all our circumstances, in all our trials, in all our persecutions for the light of Christ, because that light overcomes the darkness. Even though we suffer now, even though we may go through hard times, even though we may get sick and die, we know that when He arises on the last day, we will be perfectly healed, no matter what our life was like physically, mentally on this earth, because He shone His light in the hearts of us to whom God has been gracious to bring us to faith in Him. So we look ahead to the day when finally the only light we'll have is the light of Christ Himself, which means eternal blessedness in Christ, such as eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man. So may we demonstrate by our trust in Christ, by our love for God in Christ, by our seeking to live in accordance with righteousness, by our rejoicing in the victory that we have through the Son of Righteousness over all the power of darkness, you know, may we lead others to Christ. May we be witnesses to God's grace and mercy to us sinners through the Son of Righteousness, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord our God, how thankful we are that You are a God of goodness and mercy and love to us through Your Son, the Son of Righteousness, who came into the world to pay for our sins, to make atonement for our sins, to satisfy Your justice against our sins, so that we are no longer under condemnation. We are freed to serve righteousness, even as we do so yet imperfectly in this life and in this world. But, O Lord, we live in the glorious hope of his coming back, of arising again on earth in glory to redo the earth, to remake it, to make it into the new heavens and a new earth, and to renew us through the resurrection, so that we are fully in the state of shalom, well-being, body and soul, never to die again, but to live in fellowship with our God for all eternity. O Lord, what a glorious hope is ours by faith in Jesus Christ. We thank you, O Lord, for that faith. And we thank you, O Lord, for the proclamation of the gospel, and pray that you bless it unto those who you bring within its hearing, that they might indeed repent, turn away, turn to Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness, and live in the light rather than walk in the darkness. Lord, help us, strengthen us to walk in the light always as we look ahead to living in the light of Christ for all eternity. In his name do we pray, and to your glory, amen. So let us now worship the Lord as we